If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to the Ghost Bunny Podcast. I'm your host, Bridget Marquardt, with a brand new episode for you today. Today's guest is Alex LeMay. Alex LeMay has been a paranormal investigator for over 20 years, host on Living for the Dead, a paranormal show produced by Kristen Stewart and the makers of Queer Eye. She's also appeared on Ghost Adventures 2018 Halloween Special and House Calls. Alex is currently producing her own show on YouTube called Paranormal Alex and creating her own custom paranormal equipment in her downtime. And I can't wait to chat with her today. So let's get started. Alex, thank you so much for doing the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you on too. Actually, Holly got us connected. Holly's like, you know who you really have to have on your show is Alex. And I was like, yes. Do you know how to contact her? And she's like, yes.
Oh my gosh. I love Holly so much, both of you guys. I feel like I know you a little bit from growing up and just watching you on screen, and you being into ghosts as much as you are, same with Holly, was just like, I feel like one day I'm going to meet them or talk to them. So I'm really happy that this is happening, truly.
Isn't that funny how sometimes you just have that feeling like, I knew that one day I was going to be working with Patty Negri at some point. Like, I knew I was going to meet her, and we ran in the same circles and we knew a lot of the same people, but like, it took forever for me to finally like actually meet her one day. And then I did. And now we've been friends ever since.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's happened a lot in my life where it's like, I know I'm going to meet them at some point, or at least our paths will cross. Like, something's going to happen. It's really cool to see it realized. Yeah.
Yeah, this wasn't even one of my questions, but just since you said that, do you think that you are psychic at all or intuitive or anything like that?
Yeah, I definitely think I am. I mean, not to get too far into my past and stuff, but I definitely was born a little bit more connected where I saw spirits as a kid. And I listened to an earlier podcast here on Ghost Bunny where you were talking about your experiences growing up and how you had something happen really young. And then you had like parental figures that questioned you about it. And I had a very similar experience that, that curiosity has never left me. I'm always trying to figure out what it is that's going on. But yeah. I do constantly question it. I'm kind of a skeptic too at the same time.
Yeah, well, I think we have to be. We can't just let everything that happens like go, oh my God, that was paranormal. Every time you hear a noise or a click or, you know, see a shadow or something, it's not always paranormal. So it's really helpful to be skeptic and like be like, okay, what else could that have been? And take a look back. So I don't despise skeptics at all. I invite it. I try and be one myself. But then there's things that happen that are just not explainable.
Yeah, there are so many like cool things that have happened in my life that I still can't explain away as anything other than paranormal. And I've spoken to so many people who say the same thing, like it's happening to so many of us. It's hard to just explain it away and say, well, you know, it was a door creak or something. It's just like, there's too much evidence for me to not believe in it, but I still question it too.
Yes. Going back to like your childhood and everything, what would you say was the very first thing that you experienced that you knew was paranormal?
Oh, I posted this on Instagram and it's kind of going viral right now because I think it spooked people. They got really freaked out by it. But I had this experience when I was 10 and I was having a sleepover at my friend's house and her mother, she had gone to work. She was doing like a graveyard shift. So we were alone and we thought we had locked the door, but we were young kids and, you know, the world's not perfect. We forgot. And I had this weird feeling around, I think it was around midnight, 1 a.m. And I heard someone walking around in the hallway and I assumed her mom was home. And this still today is one of the craziest apparitions I've ever seen. But I got up And I looked down the hallway and I saw her mom, who I thought was her mom, walk down the hallway and lock the front door. So I went back, assuming this was her mother, and woke my friend up. And I was like, your mom's home. Let's go get some snacks. Because maybe she'll go shopping and pick up a few things on the way home, even though it's like 2 a.m. She brought stuff to the next flight. So my friend woke up and we went into the kitchen and there was nobody there. And I'm telling her that her mom just walked down the hallway. Like, I'm 100% certain of this. I saw her hair, her face, like every feature on her. It had to have been her mom. So we're looking through the house, we're trying to figure out where her mom is, and the door starts violently shaking. And somebody's trying to break the door down. And we run into the room. We're super freaked out. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it now. We were really freaked out. We're like, oh my gosh, someone's trying to break in the house. They tried unsuccessfully. They didn't get in. They tried to open a window too. And by the time they left, we kind of like sat in our room for a few hours. We didn't call the cops. I mean, we were so young, we didn't know what to do. And then her mom came home a couple hours later and we're like, did you not come home? Because we saw you lock the front door and we still couldn't figure out who it was. But we do think it might have been her grandmother, because her grandmother looked a lot like the mother. And she locked the front door, I mean, potentially saving our lives, being two young girls that were home alone. It was like a really formidable experience for me with the paranormal. And so scary. Yeah. I mean, it's scary, but it's also very heartwarming. I mean, we felt protected. As terrifying as it was to realize that that wasn't the mother, for a second it was like, oh my gosh, like, she saved our lives. And I've carried that like curiosity with me ever since. The fact that something could manifest and lock a deadbolt, it is incredible to me. That's such a, I don't know what kind of energy it would take to manifest to do something that was that difficult to do, but it did it. And I still have no idea how.
That's amazing. And it's like a guardian angel. Like, that's like such a positive story. Like, at first you think, oh my God, scary, because it's an apparition and a full bodied apparition at that. But then at the same time, like, it saved you guys from a possible intruder.
Wow. Oh, and her mom was so not fazed by it. She was so, oh yeah, that was your grandmother protecting you. It was such a short little conversation. And I remember sitting there being shocked by it. Like, I was speechless for a while. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. So would you say that's the first thing that ever happened to you that you knew was paranormal?
There were some other things. I had imaginary friends that I believe weren't actually imaginary friends.
Tell me about them, because I'm so fascinated by imaginary friends.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah. I did not have one. But like, when I hear stories about that or hear kids talk about it, I'm like, wait, there's more to this. There's more. Tell me more.
I believe so too. The guy that was my imaginary friend was so oddly specific. And I grew up in Mesa, Arizona, which is it's a poorer area. So it was kind of like, I wasn't exposed to people like who it was that I was seeing, who was my imaginary friend. And I think that makes it maybe a little bit more confirmed that I don't think I was making him up. But we moved into this apartment complex. I must have been 4, and I kept hearing this man say my name. Be like, hey, Alex. And it freaked me out at first. I'd cry and be like, there's a man in my room. Which is deeply terrifying when you think about it. And I never saw him. And then a year later, I started seeing him, and he was this very, very tall man. Well, of course, I'm a child. He's probably not that tall.
Yeah.
He's like, maybe 6 foot, I don't know. And I believe, was a part of the Sikh religion, because they have like a certain type of turban hair wrap. Forgive me if I'm not pronouncing what exactly it is. But he had that, and he was always such a calming presence. And he would say hello to me. And if I was sad, he asked me what was wrong. And I had these very descriptive experiences with him, specifically that my grandmother would tell stories about still today. Just being like, oh yeah, my sister also sees spirit from time to time. So she talks about us being little psychic sisters. It's pretty cute.
Yeah, that is very specific. Were you, I grew up in a small town in Northern California, and I was not really exposed to people who dress differently than us too often, you know? So were you in a community where there were other people that were Sikh and wore the head pieces?
No, it was it was a very poor community. It was an apartment, and it was mainly, it was like Latino, more like very poor white folks. It was something that I wasn't exposed to at all. So seeing him and his appearance, how he dressed, he always wore all white. He always had this specific hair wrap on, was kind of interesting. Because as I got older, I finally met somebody who dressed like that. And I was able to ask them, I think I was like 14. And I was like, oh my gosh, like my imaginary friend might have actually been a ghost this whole time.
How did that stop? Like, when did it just gradually taper off? And then all of a sudden, one day you realized he wasn't arriving anymore? Or was there like a goodbye at some point?
There was a goodbye and everything. So we moved out of the apartment complex. And I remember him telling me that he couldn't come with me. And as we were driving away, he was in the parking lot waving goodbye to me. And that's the clearest memory I have of him waving goodbye to me. It's still so wild. I never saw him again after we moved. So I think he belonged to that apartment, or he felt like he belonged to that apartment. He was always there.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's so crazy. I was stalking your Instagram. And I saw that you posted on there that, and I think you were talking about probably the story you just told us about spending the night at your friend's house and stuff. But did you often do like sleepovers? Would that involve like investigating and things like that?
Yeah. Did you have similar situations too, where your friends came over, you'd investigate?
Oh, yeah. Not only investigate, anything scary. Like, I love to scare the crap out of my cousins. Mostly it was my cousins that came and spent the night. So I'd be like, we're going to like look for ghosts. We're going to watch horror movies all night long. We're going to like go and like walk around in the cornfields out back. We're going to go put on the rubber boots and walk through the swamp and see what we can find, like bodies and stuff. And they're like...
Well, I love that for us, because we're like very innocent looking little blonde girls being like, let's go get scared, like,
yes, let's go find where the bodies are buried. Here, let me pull out my Ouija board.
It's so macabre for like what we look like, truly.
But that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, I was very similar. I loved it. I loved creeping my friends out. I was really into photography back then, and I used to have this digital camera where I take stills of the ghosts, and oh my gosh, I was so into it. And my house was haunted that I was in at the time. I'm actually in it again. I'm here right now visiting for a little bit, and there's a house ghost that said hi to me once I got here. It's still here. I don't know who he is or who he belongs to, but he made for a lot of really interesting sleepovers and scared a lot of my friends who believe in ghosts now because of those experiences.
Well, tell me about that. So this is your parents' house, or just like a house that you used to live in before? Or
yeah, my parents' house. It's I'm here for a couple of weeks just hanging out and to get surgery, my little jaw surgery I just got done. I don't know who he is, but I've heard stories from the neighbors that this house burnt down maybe in like the late 90s. And some kind of weird things. I don't know if it was drugs, like exactly. People have all these rumors. But it burnt down and it wasn't rebuilt for a number of years before my mom bought it. So there's kind of a weird history with it. I've never figured out who it is that's here. I've never asked, just to keep that boundary really solid with him, because I don't want him in my room anymore. I don't want him bugging me. And so I've always just kept my distance. But I think maybe while I'm here, right before I leave, I might ask. So I'm deeply curious who's here. It's always been there, though. I've just been surrounded by ghosts constantly.
What types of things does he do? Like, how does he manifest, and how did he scare your friends?
You see him. All my friends see him walking around. It's not just like you'll hear something. It's a full-bodied apparition. Like, you'll be in the kitchen and you'll see someone just walk by. And they'll think it's my brother or somebody, but it happens to almost anyone who comes here. They always see them walking around, and it's usually walking past the living room or here at the hallway. You see him walk past in the hallway. It's very weird.
That's crazy, because, I mean, as you, I'm sure you know, seeing a full-bodied apparition is like so, so rare. There are people that have been doing this for decades and have never seen that.
Wow. It's pretty crazy. No, I'm going to ask one day. I'm going to get all my tools out and have an actual investigation, because I've never done it. I'm a little nervous about putting my boundaries down with him if I'm here. But once I leave, I think I'll do it, and just to Well, I'm deeply curious because he's to be able to see that full apparition is pretty crazy. And for all of my friends to experience that when they themselves don't normally experience paranormal things is pretty cool.
Yeah. Why do you think you're afraid to let your guard down around him? Does he give you a weird vibe?
He does give me a weird vibe. I don't know what it is. I was like, before we really know what's happening, we're kind of freaked out by it and questioning things. And I think growing up being a girl, it's kind of like, oh, I feel this kind of creepy male presence around. And this is my room. It's supposed to feel safe. So I don't know. I don't know what his deal is or even his name. I'm just kind of, maybe I'm holding that because I had those experiences when I was 14 where I feel like I'm unable to keep those boundaries. Maybe because I've had those experiences, even though I know I'm capable of having those boundaries now, I think he has such a past with me that I've been a little nervous to do it. He's kind of a creepy ghost. And I don't like creepy ghosts.
Yeah, I'm just so curious, like, what makes him creepy to you? It must just be the vibe you're getting, because
yeah,
I feel like a lot of times people have these similar stories, but they don't feel that like creeped out vibe. They feel like, oh, it's just Jim again walking through the kitchen, you know? But like, Jim. I feel like there's something that had to be very feeling like intrusive or something, or like peeping Tom-ish or something to you when you were younger that makes you feel...
He still feels that way. He definitely does. I don't know his backstory. I don't even know how he came to be, but it's almost like I get out of the shower really quickly because I felt like I was being watched kind of stuff. So a little peeping Tom, like, he's just, I don't know, his energy is really kind of yucky, but he's always listened where I'm like, this is my room, you're not allowed in here. This area, you're not allowed in. He's always listened.
That's good.
Very strange. But yeah, I don't know. I should investigate here, especially with him being a full body apparition for many people and all those people that have experienced him. I think he's carrying around a lot of sadness. Like, it feels like he's lost or he lost something. And that might make him a little creepier, because I feel like most of the spirits that I've come in contact with that have lost something or feel very maybe suppressed, like there's something unfinished, tend to attached to me a little more than others, where I'm on a hard time getting rid of them. And that might be my own thing, because I feel like my path that I've taken with this connection that I have to spirit has always been listening and letting them tell their story. And this particular guy, I've never done that to, just because of the weird history I've had growing up in this house. I might one day, though. I don't know. He's probably listening right now.
Yeah, he probably is. He's like, oh. Well, how did your parents take all this? And when did your parents find out that you and your sister, too, right, were having experiences like this? Did you tell them when you got back from your friend's house, like, what happened and how did they take it? And then do they see this ghost in this house?
My mom sees this ghost. He does do other things, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Radios. When we used to have radios, like, you know, the boom boxes we would all have in our houses, he would turn it on full blast at like 2 a.m. and it would wake everyone in the house up. He used to do really weird stuff. He'd open and close the garage. It was just like a lot of really random things, like we weren't paying attention to him enough. But my mom tells this story where she says there was one clear experience where I was in my high chair eating SpaghettiOs. I had it all over my face and I was laughing and giggling to somebody who was standing next to her, but there was no one next to her. So she thinks that it's just always been there. And I believe her. I feel like it's still happening today.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I kind of have a similar story to you. Like, people were trying to explain in a way in terms of it being maybe like, let's get you checked out. If you are seeing things, make sure it's not mental health related. Or they like stigmatized it when it came to maybe more Christian beliefs, where they're like, oh, it's a demon. They always say it's a demon, something terrifying, you're possessed. So I kind of went through phases with it where I am, you know, I'm skeptical because of it. I'm glad. But I also have trouble believing most of my own senses. And I think I'm still working on kind of unlocking that within me, where I could potentially call myself an actual medium. I don't think I'm quite there yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it's hard because I'm definitely not psychic, but I do feel like every once in a while I get a download or something or some sort of information and I can't describe it at all, except for that I just know something is true. And I know it 100%, but if I just told you that, you'd be like, okay, so but why do you think that? And I'll be like, because I just know.
Yeah, but that is like being a medium. It's something that like you're connected to that you can't explain. But I'm always second guessing it. And I think it's those little voices from my parental fingers growing up. They're always kind of there in the back of my head.
But even in my own head, I'm like, but why do I think that? Like something told me that, but why do I think it? And why do I think that's true? And how do I know I'm not just like making that up in my head for some reason?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like it's hard. I don't know how psychics know that this is the real information and they are confident in it. You know, like when do you make that leap?
Yeah. And I've talked to a lot on that because I've always been deeply curious and their advice has always been to let go of all of that. And when you're able to, like when you meditate, you kind of release all of your judgments and preconceived notions, biases to the information you're receiving, then you're able to trust it a little bit more. But I mean, that takes a lot of practice and they're all very good at what they do. Yeah, it is. He comes in and you're like, okay, did I see that with my own eyes? Did I see it with my mind? These aren't my memories. What is this emotion that I'm feeling? It's not mine. But then I'll try to say, is it mine? And second guess it. You know, you're going through so much. It's hard to let information in when it's that jarbled in your head.
And you talked about your apartment haunted. Is that the one? Is it your parents' apartment that you're in now? Or where you live, is it also haunted?
Oh, where I live was haunted. Yeah. I didn't have a video go kind of viral with that too, because the ghosts are pretty cheeky. When I turned the spirit box on, the first thing that came out was nice tits.
Thanks.
I was like, okay. Really funny. And they told me over the spirit box, you can see the video on my social media, that they're a family and they've been there for a long time. It's the grandmother. I believe it's the grandmother's children. And then one of her kids' kids. So there's four people total in that apartment, which is super cool. And before I moved in, before I even signed the lease, my neighbor who was there at the time skipped over and he's like, you got to tell her about the ghosts. And I'm like, as I'm signing the lease, he's like, oh, yeah, are you into that kind of thing? Do you want to hear about it? I was like, of course I want to hear about it. Like, as I'm signing, he's like, yeah, no one's ever stayed a full lease in this apartment. They've all broken their lease because of scary things. We called the shaman in right before you came in and cleared the place. And I was like, okay, cool. Even more excited, I signed it immediately. It was a really cool experience. I lived there for like 4 years. I have a lot of cool documented things that I put on TikTok. The experience was pretty neat.
What type of things do they do? How do they manifest?
Voices. It's mainly like you hear, it sounded more residual to me when I was experiencing it. And I didn't realize that it was an actual intelligent haunting until the time came where I was moving out and I sat down and had a conversation with them. But there was like one instance where it's a duplex. So it's connected to my neighbor's house. I think it was like 2 a.m. I had woken up to a huge party on the other side of the duplex and I had to get up super early. So I was texting my friend. I'm like, hey, I know you have a lot of people right now and you guys all sound like you're having super fun time. And I'm not trying to be party pooper, but just can you turn down the music a little bit? And she's like, I'm not home. I'm at work, but I'll be home in an hour. She's like, did anyone break into my house? Like, are they having a rager at my house? So I was like, fully convinced there was this huge party still happening. And as I opened my door to go over and left, all the music and all the people talking stopped all at once. And there was nobody at her house. It was very weird. Things like that would happen. I hear footsteps, cabinets would open and close. I've truly never lived anywhere where there wasn't activity. I feel like there are certain people who I've crossed paths with. I feel like you're probably one of them too. Where we're kind of magnets to it, it just follows us. Like I don't know if there's a common thing between all of us. I had a close brush with death. I wonder sometimes if that we close each of the spirit world. Why?
Can
it's
you talk
happening.
About that?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I grew up in kind of very poor conditions, and I overdosed on seeing when I was like 3 years old. Had a pretty close fall while I was very, very young.
At three born years in, old?
Yeah, at three. I found the medicine and which is crazy. I don't even know how that happens, but it's in the past. But I had other weird things happen that were just like really close calls, I think, kind of brought me closer to this fascination I have with the other side and what happens to our soul. Or if souls exist, if spirits exist. I think that a lot of people I've spoken to are either like something has always happened to all of us to maybe open us up to the other side, where we kind of like are walking around like magnets to it now, where it's like we're connected in a different way.
Yeah, that's interesting. I can definitely see if somebody's had like a brush with death like that to be more open, and maybe something happens when that happens that like kind of opens that third eye a little bit and you're able to like see this stuff. For me personally, I feel like I never had anything like that. I feel like whatever happened in a previous life or like, because when people ask me about it, I say, I think I was born this way.
Like, yeah. Which you probably were. I totally believe in the past life thing. I think we carry a lot with us today.
Yeah, I believe in all of that too. One of the things I saw, like I said, I was stalking your social media. So one of the things I saw is that you went to the San Carlos Hotel, and I went there. So I was asked to go do the Tombstone, the first ever Tombstone Paranormal Convention. And cool. So I brought my mom with me, and we drove from LA, and we stopped in Phoenix, and we stayed at the San Carlos Hotel, and we went around and I took my mom. She doesn't do this kind of stuff or anything, but I took her on a little investigation with me. They were so nice there and so amazing. They like put like a be back in 10 minutes sign at the desk and took me down to the basement and showed me around. Like they were just awesome there. Tell me about your experience.
That's so cool. I love that you had such a good experience there. I think the spirits there are also really amazing. I didn't really have, well, there was one ghost that was a little inappropriate. I feel like this happens to me a lot for some reason. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but if there's ghosts that are a little creepy, they tend to make themselves known pretty quickly. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Have you had a ghost hit on you before?
I don't think so.
Just me?
I mean, I feel like I would remember that, but I don't think I've ever had a ghost hit on me. No.
It's like become a problem with a couple locations. We went mainly to speak to the spirit of Leon, who is famously a part of this beautiful San Carlos old hotel. She left off the seventh story of the building, and it's always been such a big tragedy. People don't really know why, even though she left notes behind. People have always pieced together her story. And one of the narratives that they've always pushed is that it was unrequited love with a bellboy from something that was connected to it. And I wanted to go in and kind of expand on her story if I could, just to see what really happened. I feel like that's a trope that gets played out a lot in the paranormal. There's always a woman and she wasn't loved enough and she took her own life. But more often than not, that's not usually the case. It's always so much deeper than that. And this experience, I think it was really magical because we had a couple new devices. We had the spirit box that has the filter on it, so you only get the words, so it's easier to hear. And we used that for most of our investigation. So the audience, we did a YouTube, like filmed all of it, but the audience was able to hear it in her own voice and the voices of the other spirits or entities that were there speak their truth, which was really cool. But we found out there was so much deeper than that. We found out that there was abuse involved. We found out that she was actually very ill. It could have been tuberculosis. She was a dancer. So there were a lot of things that led to her eventually taking her life. And there was this really, really amazing moment where we were all sitting together on the bed. It was my two friends, Amber and me. We're over the scare box. We've been given this information that a certain type of abuse like happened to her. And it made us all choke up. It was like this really emotional moment. And in her voice, because he just been speaking about it, in her voice, she says over the spirit box, "Oh, beloved, it's okay." And it's one of the clearest voices I've ever gotten over the spirit box. But it was so beautiful to be comforted by a spirit who was indulging this very sensitive information to us, that she felt safe enough to do so. And I felt like that was worth every reaper ghost I've ever come in contact with, was being able to talk to her and get her story straight so that like people will understand her better when they walk into that place. Because there's a lot of people going, "Oh, he didn't love you and you killed yourself." And that's like not the truth. And it feels like such a disservice to history and who she was as a person to allow that narrative to continue. So that experience was really amazing. I got some of the best evidence I've ever gotten. But after we had gotten that, there's this guy there who had a foot fetish that would not stop talking about me.
A ghost with a foot fetish?
Yes. And he was so loud about it. We had REM pods at the base. We were like, okay, let's lean into this and see if this is really what's going on here. Because he kept saying foot over the ovulus and over the spirit box. So we got on the bed and we had our socks on and we had our feet at the end of the bed and we had the REM pod and we're asking it and we're like, all right, he said his name was Roger. All right, Roger, if you want us to take our socks off, light it up. Everything starts to light up. The REM pod lights up. There's another device in the chairs lighting up. Like, we couldn't believe it. I was like clutching my feet just like in fear. I was like, oh my gosh, I actually have to do this. And we did. We got a lot of evidence out of this foot fetish guy. Like,
that's like so funny. Well, I didn't have anything like that. I mean, you got a lot. Were you just there one night?
Just one night. It was the most evidence I've ever gotten out of the location. Yeah. And then we had those night cameras that film only motion. And we got an EVP of Roger in the middle of the night saying the white socks. I had white socks on. Please. So bad.
Oh, no. Just the listeners, the San Carlos Hotel is a beautiful historic hotel right in downtown Phoenix. And I mean, it's just gorgeous. The dining room, the lobby is so beautiful.
Oh, beautiful.
And they have this huge basement. I mean, I guess probably most hotels do, with all the laundry and like all the storage and everything. And like I said, they took us down there. I didn't have a lot happen. We were just kind of staying there on the way to Tombstone. And I was like, I want to stay somewhere haunted. So let's stay at the San Carlos. And, but I did go around and I felt the, kind of, I would say creepiest energy in, it's like a gym/office.
Oh my gosh. Really? Tell me more about it.
The business center.
Too. Yeah.
It's all kind of like one room. For the listeners, it's all kind of like one room. Like you go in, you have to have your key to get in. But then it's like a gym on one side and then sort of like this really creepy business center. It's just got like a couch and a table with a printer on it. Like that's about it.
And it's like the back rooms. Like, it's very weird.
Yes. And the gym, the lights wouldn't go on in the gym. Like, they were not working.
They weren't working for us either. Yeah.
I wonder if they ever work. Maybe nobody uses the gym at night.
I know. They told us it did. They were like, if you need to turn the lights on, this is where it's at. Because they let us just have free reign. And we were down there for a minute. I couldn't get anything to turn on. But it was the creepiest part of that whole hotel.
I thought so, too.
It was I didn't get on camera, but there's a moment where I like turn and I saw a little girl, like the whole body apparition of a little girl standing there. And it scared me because it was like 2 a.m. And I thought it was actually a little girl. It scared my friend who was next to me. And we tried to do some investigation just to get anything to light up or communicate. And there was no communication, but the vibe of that corner of the hotel was so unsettling. It was so creepy. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Well, and then we went in the basement, like I said, and she was showing us. Did you go in the basement at all? That spot where the kids died?
No.
Oh, wait. It was, let me see if I can get this story right. I feel like I should fact check this, but I think that there was an old well there.
Yeah, I've heard about the well.
At least one child died, like drowned in the well, I believe.
Yeah.
But she was showing us the spot where that was. And all of a sudden, from behind us somewhere, it sounded like somebody threw flicked a bottle cap. And it like hit the cement floor and went like that noise that like a plastic bottle cap makes when it like hits the floor.
Wow.
And I was like, what was that? And there was nobody else down there. It was just the three of us.
That's so weird.
So ooh, those are the only things that, like that. What's that?
I love situations like that where you're just by yourself and things start happening where no one can figure out what it is. And that moment is really cool.
Yeah, that's really all that happened while we were there. But it was a beautiful hotel. I loved how they fully embraced the ghost. Like I was talking to the lady at the front desk and she was just telling me, like just speaking freely about it, which a lot of hotels don't do. So I really love it when they do that.
They do. They have every floor dedicated to a certain story or spirit where they have plaques now that have their stories. They have all the newspaper clippings, what happened here on this floor. It's really cool. They have a very positive outlook on the spirits there.
And celebrities have stayed there, like back in the olden days. Like there was a Marilyn Monroe room.
Yeah.
And who else stayed there? Was it Clark Gable?
Clark Gable, Mae West. Oh my gosh, Elvis was rumored to have stayed there for like maybe 7 hours. Yeah.
So that's fun. That's a fun history.
That's so cool. I love that you've been there because it is a really, the energy there is something I've never felt before. It was really intense.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Bisbee, Arizona. I have not been there, but so many people have messaged me saying, you have to go to Bisbee. You have to go to Bisbee. Your experience.
I've been there a couple times. The first time I went, I think it was maybe 5 years ago. I just stopped in to see it. I wasn't staying, but I'd heard rumors that it was super haunted at the Copper Queen. And I walked down the hall and I saw this woman in this like 1988. It must have been like late 1800s, early 1900s dress. And it shocked me. And I had never seen her for a second and just being like, I'll be back. Telling her that I would be back. Just so silly. But then we ended up filming the show Living for the Dead with Kristen Stewart and the people of Queer Eye. And they decided to go back and revisit it because I had seen her. And it turned into this really cool episode where this spirit named Julia was pretty well known because she was the daughter, the owner at the time. She unfortunately took her life in the hotel and people never fully understood why. It was another one of those situations where they said it was unrequited love. That she had a relationship with a guy, a sheriff in town, and ended up taking her life because he didn't love her back. And it once again was another situation where she had a much deeper story than that. I can't say for certain what actually happened historically because not a lot was written down. But from my experience there, it seems like she was trying to portray the message that she might have had a child or was pregnant or something along those lines. And that situation was a lot messier than just unrequited love, and it was something that was dangerous. So her life was put into danger, and that's what led to her death. And I had this really amazing moment sitting on the edge of the bed, and it's the first time I had ever channeled. I was sitting there with Logan, who's the co-star on that show, with hands on my shoulder, and I saw her right in front of me say thank you, and then she just like disappeared. And I remember bawling my eyes out. It felt like there was like this release in the room, and both of us, I mean, one of the people doing the camera also was crying. It was just like a really natural moment. I've always had such a connection to the women or their stories. And I feel like that's been my life path right now, is just helping maybe get their stories out or helping feel them in some way if I can. And that experience was very much that once again. And there were a couple other spheres there that are really, really interesting. I don't know if you believe necessarily in demons, but I have some friends who are saying like the Hat Man was there and they classify him as a demon.
Is he a demon?
I don't think so. But like,
I don't think of Hat Man as a demon. And just for the listeners, it's like a shadow figure, more like, but it you can see the silhouette of him wearing a hat. So that's Hat Man, and people see him. I mean, I wouldn't say all the time, but there's lots of reports of him.
There are, like, there's t-shirts where they say, I owe the Hat Man money. Like, they won't take Benadryl because they don't want to see him. And he's like a thing that people do see regularly, which is super interesting. I think
Benadryl causes you to see him?
Yeah, I guess. It's with a lot of people. Yeah, they're like, I won't take Benadryl because I owe the Hat Man money. It's something silly.
Oh my gosh, I don't know that part of it.
Yeah, it's really funny. I guess he's there. There's quite a few entities that inhabit that space that I think were non-human, and they did claim that while we were there. They're inhuman spirits. So whatever it was that created them, they're a little intense. They're kind of hard to be around. It's not shown on the show itself. It got cut, but when I went to the little boys, there's this little boy's room where he stayed a lot, and I guess he drowned, and it's a very sad story, which there's no historical backing to that. I don't know if that's true. I didn't find anything to say that it was. But when I walked into that room, it made me so sick in my stomach that I ran out and ended up being sick in the room next door, and I could not even walk down that hallway without getting sick. Like, the energy was just so bad and yucky.
Yeah.
So there's Julia, who's just a dream to be around. She's so much fun. And then there's this other entity, the Hat Man, that's in like the saloon area. That's just this shadow figure that freaks people out. And a lot of people, they just won't even speak or get near it. And then there's this little boy who likes to play games, and he likes to trick you and do things like that. He's also there. So there's like a ton of spirits in this hotel. You'll never be bored. It's so much fun. It's also very beautiful. They've kept most of the carpet and the designs that they had from the early 1900s. So it's almost like you're time traveling, which I think helps the spiritual thing that's going on there too. Is like they're keeping it intact. Julia's room is the same. It's really cool.
That sounds amazing. I definitely need to check it out. You seem to me like you are very empathic, and all this information that you've gotten just on the few cases that we've talked about here, I just feel like is incredible. Like, it's remarkable. I don't feel like I leave a place knowing that much information. How do you think you're able to like get so much information?
I don't know. I don't know. I joke about being a failed medium. I think when I go into places with the intention of listening, not so much, I think about this a lot, and I don't really come up with a solid answer. I think going into these spaces, having the intention of listening and wanting to get their story straight, or just being able to hear from them, I think that energy is a little bit more inviting than some of my friends who are more into like provoking, where they like to like rile things up and they're like, you make this go up right now, which I have a lot of friends who do that, and it's fun. That's like fun to do. I think my energy is just a little bit different, and I think that lends itself to the evidence that I'm able to capture, which is I think important. I think we need to have more diversity. I love that you're into the paranormal. I think we need more women in this space for sure. I think we need a lot more minorities in this space. There needs to be more diversity. There's so many stories and spirits that resonate with different people, and these stories are not being told because they're not able to resonate in a way that they would if somebody who was like them entered the space.
Absolutely. And I'm not into provoking. Like, I want to go in and I want to experience, and I want to, if I could get information and hear their stories, I want to hear that too. But I just want to kind of experience. And for me, it's always sort of just looking for that proof. And I'm not saying there's actual proof or whatever, that what I experienced when I was younger really did happen. And it still happens to people, and it happens here or there, or, you know, and it is a real thing, I think, is what I'm always trying to, like, kind of prove to myself.
Thanks.
And it's exciting to have something happen, you know?
It's so exciting. I think you and I have that in common, where we're trying to feel like, oh, I'm believed. Like, these things did happen to me. I'm not crazy.
Yeah. But I think there's something about your energy that makes them feel comfortable and want to, you know, confide in you, or however you want to say it, like, to give you the information.
Yeah. And if that's true, like, that's the biggest compliment. Like, I always hope to be that. I hope to be that with my friends and in spaces that I occupy with spirits and people. Well, yeah. That's a huge compliment. Thank you. I hope it comes off
well.
You
have a very calming demeanor, and I can feel that you're very empathic, you know?
Thanks. I think that's very empathic of you to be able to feel that.
Okay, you already brought it up, but tell us about Living for the Dead and how that all came about. And that's so exciting.
Oh, it was so exciting. It's such a cool experience. I still look back on, I think once a week, I'll have one of those nostalgic moments where I was like, oh, I wish I was filming. I mean, it was so fun. I think the casting process happened really quickly. It was like, oh, I'm not going to get this. I had gotten a call from Scout, and they said, hey, we'd like you to try out. And I did. And like, there's no way I'm going to get this. And then like 3 months later, I was in California, and then we were doing casting. And then a month later, I was getting the call, and we were going, and then we were on the road for 2 months just filming in all these different locations. And
so fun.
It happened so quickly. But it was, I mean, I've always been into the paranormal. It's always had a soft spot in my heart, because I feel like my everyday encounters involved spirit to some degree. So when I got to actually investigate, I got my hands on actual equipment, I was like so in love with it. The experience was incredible. I love that they brought an all queer team to these locations, because I feel like that helped us uncover a lot of history that normally wouldn't be brought up. I love that it was a more holistic view to the hauntings. The people that they ended up choosing, all of us are very similar in the way that we investigate. We had three mediums, medium tarot readers, which is super cool. Three at the same time is pretty amazing. And we got to do a lot of cool experiments with that. So we would have one clairvoyant medium in one area, tarot reader in the other, and they would have cameras rolling at the same time, and they would be picking up similar information. And I think those experiences were so amazing that I have a hard time not believing in spirit anymore, or in ghosts, or in the paranormal. Like, something's definitely happening. That experience was truly magical. I think it was wild to people that also owned the home that made it really special. The Lent Mansion was a really amazing place where we got to kind of connect the spirits. The Lent Mansion has this amazing story behind it, which is very long, but it's super cool if you ever want to look it up. Those watching, there's unfortunately quite a few deaths that happened within the home. Quite a few of the family members ended up taking their lives, and they were kind of like, people refer to them as like Kardashians of the early 1900s, which I guess is kind of true, because their stories are so sensationalized. They were in the newspaper all the time. They had so many incredible stories, and there ended up being some queer history also within that location. And it also kind of like tied in with the people who owned the buildings that were having trouble. And I think that show, what made it so special was that we were able to go in and meet people who owned the buildings to the hauntings in a way that was healing for both parties, where it was more about removing fear from these situations and helping people feel less afraid and more seen, and that there are similarities, and that we're all just kind of like, while living life, it's the first time, well, for the most of us, the first time we're here. We don't know what we're doing, or we're all navigating it, and it can be lonely sometimes. And even connecting those stories with spirit, if you believe in it or not, it's history, and it's stuff that we can learn from that will show us parts of ourselves that we don't normally pay attention to. So it was kind of a magical experience in that we really got to maybe heal parts of ourselves while we were helping heal others. It was a really amazing show.
Yeah. So just for the audience, it was called Living for the Dead, and Kristen Stewart, and was it the producers or creators of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
Yeah, same ones.
And they got together this LGBTQ team.
Yeah, we're all on the spectrum of the LGBTQIA. It was really fun. We're all investigators, mediums. It's a really awesome, diverse team. It was a great idea, a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it just got pulled from Hulu. They're telling us that it might come back. So for as of right now, you can find it, like leg versions of it on the internet. But it might be coming back in the next month in Hulu. We're not quite sure, but it's called Living for the Dead.
Yeah, and I have interviewed a few of your co-stars before. I've had Roz on.
Yes.
Not on Ghost Bunny, but on my previous. But Roz and I have been talking. We're going to do each other's podcasts coming up, too.
Good. Oh, my gosh. Roz is so funny. I love her.
I love her, too. And then Ken Summers has been on the show.
I
love
Ken
Summers. And he is awesome. So, yeah, we have people in common.
I love that.
Okay,
I would love to go ghost hunting with you sometime. If we're ever in the same place, it'd be so fun.
Yeah, or maybe I'll be in Arizona.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to go do the Bisbee.
Yes, I'm going to be there next week. I'm going back.
I won't be there that soon, but...
Yeah, but if you get here, let me know.
Okay, I will. Tell me about doing Ghost Adventures, because that must have been like an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, that I'm still like, I don't know, all these opportunities that I've gotten in life feel so surreal. When I could look back, I know that I've done it, but I still feel like I haven't done it. I'm like, oh wait, yeah, I did. Like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Zach had a contest where he asked people to take a video to get locked into his museum right before it had opened for the first time. So it was like a Halloween special. I think it was a 2018 Halloween special. And I entered my video, and I know that they selected three people. And so I think it was the day before filming, one of the people that they had selected got like a flat tire or something happened and they weren't able to get on the plane. So then they ended up calling me last minute. I think it was the night before. I know, it was kind of crazy. So I flew out, got strapped to the camera and thrown into the museum by myself. They locked the door behind me, and the experience was really crazy. That was like, I've only really had experiences with non-malevolent entities prior to this, you know, like creepy guys, whatever, but like whatever was going on in that museum was something I never faced prior. It was much darker and really intense, and it was a really weird experience. And when I got home, a bunch of really crazy stuff started happening. I had a car drive through my fence, and then 2 days later, the neighbor around the same fence area, the neighbor across the way had this like beautiful, I think it was a 69 or a 71 Mustang. The gas pail got stuck to the floor and it came flying through my fence again and got stuck in the tree. And then the tree broke and came through the roof of my house a week later. Crazy stuff was happening after I left that. And I don't know if I can say that that's connected, but it was strange enough to bring up.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've experienced something like that. It was really intense. And, you know, there's a lot of energy in that museum. And that experience is so cool. They asked me to come back for an episode of House Calls in, I think it was, maybe 2020. Time goes by really quick.
I know.
But I got asked to come back, and we did an investigation in Jacksonville, Florida, with this family who felt like there was maybe some kind of like demonic presence within their home. So we got to do an investigation and like, help them feel less afraid of what it is that was happening in their home. You know, and I think for House Calls does a really good job of helping people feel less afraid of what's happening and showing them that, like, you know, you don't have to be afraid of this. We're going to take the fear out of it and let you live your life so that you're not always walking on eggshells in your own home, which I can only imagine is terrible.
Yeah.
It was really cool opportunity.
Going back to the museum experience, so there was three people. Were you all three in there at the same time?
We were in different sections though. So one of the guys was in the basement by himself. And then the other guy was on the other side. So we saw each other towards the end. I think we were there for a few hours by ourselves, just kind of locked in. Mm-hmm. So one was on the other side, one's in the basement. I was by the front door. So there were the dolls, I love the dolls for some reason. I got into the doll room and I'm just like standing there and it's pitch black. And I remember like feeling somebody grab my arm and I felt like it was giggling. And I remember being like, ooh, that's spooky, how fun. And then I wandered into Kevorkian's van and I sat in it for a minute. I actually felt a lot of peace there. I felt really appreciative of what Kevorkian does. So that experience, I absolutely love. That might have been one of my favorite moments of investigating the museum itself. And then I wandered down. It's pitch black, by the way. He turned off all the lights and even took graph tape, and the little LED on the camera was also shut and everything was shut. So it was completely dark. You got like hands out trying to figure out where you're going, which makes it so much creepier because you're so aware of your sensations in your body. So I made it over to, I don't know what the room is specifically called, but it has the Oddfellow skeletons in it.
Yes.
Yeah, the Oddfellow skeletons. And I started having a conversation with these two Oddfellow people who were giving me their first and last name, which in the moment, I had a little walkie that I was talking to Jay. Jay was fact-checking if we were getting the information. We got a first and last name over the ovulus, which checked out to belong to somebody in the Oddfellows. It was super cool. And then Billy joined me because things started really happening in there. We were getting a lot of evidence. Billy joined and then Zach came in. And as Zach was walking down the hallway, the ovulus spit out devil something. And I was like, oh, that's creepy. And then the whole movie changed. Started seeing this like black mass kind of like slithering on the floor, which I've never seen something quite like that, like slither. It's always like a figure. So that freaked me out. And I remember saying something about it. And so Zach brought in the full spectrum camera and he started taking consecutive photos. And there's a couple of photos when you see this black mass slowly moving across the floor. So creepy. That so much evidence came out of that experience. It was super interesting that it ended up being the Oddfellows. My life since has had some weird connections with the Oddfellows, which I've always found kind of interesting. Like I'm actually in possession of quite a few artifacts from their rituals. I have a hat, I have a halberd, some documents, things like that. Like my life has been, I don't know, frost and past with a lot of their history. And I don't know why, I'm still trying to figure it out. Like if there's a past life tie or something like that.
Yeah,
that museum was creepy. And I've gone back a couple times and like, it's pretty spooky. It's definitely worth the money to go. And like, whenever you're in Vegas, definitely go, because it'll change your mind if you don't believe.
Right. Yeah, I did my podcast with one of the tour guides there. And then the next day, I went and did a tour and we had some experiences too, which are pretty cool. So it's definitely active there.
It is. Were there certain rooms that you had evidence happen in or like any that called
well,
you?
Well, I wasn't doing an investigation. I was on like a regular group tour. But one thing that I totally remember is that I didn't realize we were standing along the staircase because the way they have it set up in there, I mean, I think it's probably changed because it's been a long time since I was there. But the way they had it set up back then, there was like a big, thick, heavy velvet curtain that went around the stair railing. So you didn't know that you were in front of a staircase. Yeah. And we were waiting to go into, I'm pretty sure it was the divot box room, and they only wanted like one person in at a time and could walk around and then come back out the other side. So we were standing there waiting and the curtain moved and I saw like sequin pants on the other side, like walking by. And I thought, oh, that's somebody from the clown room. They're going to try and scare us or something, you know?
Yeah.
And my friend saw it too. And then as we came back out the other side of the divot box, I told the tour guide, I'm like, oh, I saw like you know, somebody with the like sequin pants on the other side of this. And she was like, on the other side of this? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and she opened it up and it's literally just the railing and there's no way somebody could be walking on the other side. But we both saw it.
That's so cool. And interesting type of pant to be wearing.
Right.
Why sequins? I don't know.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to remember, there was just like a couple of other little things too. When we were in with Peggy, what did she say to us? We were like, bye, Peggy, or something like that. And she was like, don't go.
Oh.
So that was kind of weird. I would have to like go back and like listen again and like think about it again, and like talk to my friend again, like what all happened. But there was just like little things like that. Oh, I know. Not the day we were doing the tour, but the night before when we were just doing the interview, we were doing it inside the museum, inside, I don't know what it is now, but it was called the Winchester Room because it has the wax heads from what used to be at the Winchester Mystery House. And then it has like some of the windows, like the little spider windows. So those were in that room. But what had been in that room prior to that was the devil's chair. The devil's rocking chair. He was storing it in that room. And then it was moved and it was up in its regular location now. But we were doing the interview in this little tiny room right there. And when we were leaving, we had to walk past all the dolls. And I didn't want to look at anything because I wanted to save it all for the next day. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to like hightail it out of here. We're walking out with like a security person is escorting us out. And from the doll room, and there was nobody in the doll room, we heard a tap on the glass.
Like a loud enough
tap to where, as we're just walking by, trying not to like, you know, ruin it for the next day, enough to make us stop in our tracks and be like, what was that?
They're like, come back.
Something's tapping on the glass. I mean, not tapping. There was just a tap, but still something tapped on the glass.
That's so cool. Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
Yes, it was really cool. Oh, you did. I forgot to ask you, speaking of Arizona and stuff, you did Jerome, right? Because I've done Jerome.
Yeah, I did the high school in Jerome.
Oh, the high school. Okay, I stayed at the Grand Jerome Hotel.
And did you talk to Roz about the EVP she got there?
If we did, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Did she get a good one?
She got a good one, but I'll leave it for her.
Okay.
It's a really good one.
Okay, I'll ask her about it.
Yeah, I've never been there. I want to, though.
Very historic hotel. Used to be a hospital. So lots of people have passed away. It was a mining hospital. So imagine the accidents and the things that happened there. But also, a man was killed by the elevator. And you can, like, go and stand, like, and they have it outlined out, like, in tape where the person died. So you can kind of
see.
Still, yeah, like they do that so that people can do like an investigation or like a tour and like see where it happened.
Wow.
And the elevator is one of those super, super old ones where you go inside and then you have to like pull the cage closed and then the door type of thing or vice versa. And then put a key in and turn it and then put your floor in.
I love that. I wish everything now was still made that way. I feel safer there than the new ones, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think it felt very safe.
Really? I don't know. I've seen too many like videos where people are like the electronics go wrong and they're just trapped in the elevator.
Yes.
Like I need to be able to pry it open and leave if something happens.
Well, they give you, this is another hotel that really is open about their ghost stories and their history and everything. And they'll even give you a K2 meter to use if you don't have one. So that was awesome because I did not know I was staying there. And we were driving home from Colorado and I was like, ooh, you know what we could do is we could stop in Jerome and like spend the night. And we did. So I didn't have any of my equipment with me or anything like that, but they gave us K2 meters, which I thought was awesome. And it was going crazy in the stairwell. And then we put up cameras in our room and left and went and like explored other things and stuff. And when we came back, none of the cameras were recording. They all had turned off.
All of them?
All of them. That's, well, there was two. There was two cameras. Both of them had turned off.
It's still weird. Like we would get one, but for both of them to not be recording.
Yeah.
So fascinating. It's on my bucket list. Like, I really need to go. I remember in high school, all my friends went and they would think, gotta go, it's so spooky. And I still haven't gone unless I need to.
Yeah. And maybe this is just our fault, but we there's like little French doors and there's like a cute little balcony and we had left it open just for fresh air. It was kind of like a summer night kind of thing. And when we came back, there was a ton of bugs in our room, these little teeny tiny bugs like all over the bed. And at first we thought they were like bed bugs or something. And we were freaking out. We're like researching, what does a bed bug look like? And it wasn't.
I'd be totally freaked out.
Yeah, it was just these little bugs. And we're like, okay, well, it seemed a little apocalyptic how many there were, but I guess that was just our fault for leaving the door open a little bit. So we're like, okay. Yeah, got rid of all that.
Looking at it, look. I'd check out. I'd be like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
At least in the room.
They weren't like, I mean, I know some people think all bugs are just gross and but these, I mean, I wasn't creeped out by them so much. Like I wasn't like, ew, but I did want them out. You know, I don't want to sleep with them.
No, I would accidentally eat one in the middle of the night.
Ew. And then I guess one of the things that happens there is like the water will turn on and off in the rooms. And I did not have that, but I did wake up in the middle of the night just feeling like a presence. And I remember just staring at the bathroom going, oh my God, is the water going to turn on? Is like the shower going to turn on? Like what's going to happen? And I looked over and the EMF meter was like lighting up. So I'm like, there's something in here with us right now, but I just really want to go back to sleep. And I've been noticing that this is sort of a pattern with me anyway, where I'll be investigating and I don't really get that much or whatever. And then I go to bed and then in the middle of the night, I'm awakened by like a feeling of sort of like dread or like being watched or that something's in there. But like they wait until I'm like so tired and not fully in my senses that I get more scared than I feel like jumping up and investigating. Whereas earlier in the night, a full bodied apparition could have walked out and I've been like, yeah.
That's probably them doing that on purpose, though, because I feel like when you're asleep, all your guard's down. And, like, I do think you might have a little bit of, like, mediumship abilities or something, like that connection. Because when you're asleep, like, in the meditative state, when your brain waves, when everything's calmed down, you're able to connect and receive that information so much easier.
Yeah.
So maybe when you're asleep, the spirits are like, okay, let's go. Like, let's wake her up. Let's see what she's up to. If she wants to hang out.
Yeah.
It is creepy being woken up, though, at like 2 a.m. That happened a lot. Like, we had to stay in Bisbee, we stayed the full 6 days. And we were only filming for 3. And we had the whole place to ourselves. So we were sleeping. I was in Julia's room for like 6 days.
Wow.
Fully experiencing all these things. Like,
yeah.
Someone on staff got scratched. It was really intense.
That's amazing to be able to spend 6 days in a location.
Wow. It was pretty cool. It was the longest we stayed in any location, but I think because there was like a break, we had gone home and then we flew out to Ohio and started over there. So we had a little extra time. It was such a cool town to walk around into. There's so many cool people that are really into the ghosts and everything. Like, they love talking about their experiences. It's a really cool town.
I have to go. All right. There's a place you went and I'm totally jealous and you have to tell me all about it. I've had them on the podcast before, but I've never gotten to go. Waverly.
You haven't gone? Oh my gosh. You have to go.
I know.
That place is, anyone who's into the paranormal, I absolutely suggest going to Waverly Hills. Like, it's a beautiful experience because they welcome the ghosts. And they also are very good at preserving the history. So they have photos of the hallways that you're walking through. When it was an active tuberculosis hospital, if you get to see the beds lined up and then you get to see it how it is now, it's almost as if like you're walking through time, like you're time traveling. It's truly in a magical place. Those experiences I had there too were actually life-changing and they kind of changed my views on the paranormal. Personally, I had one experience in the morgue. I was like, I wanted to break off from everyone. I was like, can I go by myself and just go lay in the area where they kept the bodies in the morgue and just see what happened? Because there's an astronomical amount of attachments that came out of where they build. It's in the hundreds. The amount of people that write in and say, oh, I'm having all these terrible things happening to me. I feel like someone followed me all. So I know there's a lot happening there. And we wanted to figure out what's going on. Why is that happening? Why are there record numbers of attachments? And I personally took it upon myself, because I'm crazy, to go by myself to the area where those attachments originated from. I went with my little REM pod and I climbed in. I put the REM pod over my head and I sat down and had this conversation with this malevolent entity that was following me. And the conversation changed the way that I feel about malevolent entities altogether, or like a, whatever it is that you would, some people will call them demons. They would have different labels for very similar things. And the conversation, I've always kind of gone into investigation and thinking what there is human and non-human entities. And that was the easiest way for my brain to categorize them, understand who it is I'm speaking to. Like, were you human once? Are your loved ones around? Do you love this house? Is that why you're still here? Versus like non-human entities, like thought forms, egregores, like things that fall into that category where it's kind of created by like egregores are ritualistic or can be ritualistic, where it's like a group of people creating something or this entity through these rituals or these thoughts or these things that they are chanting. And what happens specifically at Waverly, but onto house in the area where the morgue was and where certain things happened, where these people are taking the last breath, giving the holy bodies, where some of the medical things were happening. And last then, they didn't really put people under to do some of the things that they had to do. So there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of really intense things happening in that area. And I think putting a haunted house in that area, they didn't realize was kind of feeding into whatever this thing was. And when I was sitting there, I wanted to ask questions and I wanted to have conversation with this malevolent entity as safely as I could. And it's on Living Through the Dead, the Waverly episode, you'll see me asking all these questions there, so you can view it. But I started asking how it was created. And I asked what it is that it feeds off. And it was giving me answers in a really creepy way, because if you use the REM pod works at like proximity. You get close to where there's an antenna, you get close to it, it lights up. But there's a strength meter on the light, so like, how close you get to the antenna, it will illuminate a certain amount of light in relation to how close you are to the antenna. And the answers that I got from this malevolent entity answer it in the exact same intensity. It was always at the second light, and it answered for the exact same amount of seconds every single time. And I think I was there for an hour reading about like 10 minutes. So I was asking, were you created through people's fear? And then it would go off. But yeah. He's like, okay. Of like, is are you attaching yourself to people because you're feeding off of their fear? And it said yes. And I continued on this questioning for like an hour, and I was questioning if this is a non-human entity, this is a thought form, this is something someone created, it's having a certain amount of intelligence to tell me what it is and identify, like it's capable of self-identifying, which was super interesting. But it also gave me this sense of, it was almost kind of afraid of no longer existing, which is why it had this insatiable hunger for fear and scaring people itself. And the answers being so perfect and always having the exact same 3-second answer, along with these really intelligent responses, like really shifted my idea of what a malevolent entity is, and kind of, I don't know if I like humanized it a little bit or what, but I like kind of felt bad for it, where I was like, oh, you're like desperate. You're literally desperate to scare people because it's feeding you. And
yeah.
That kind of took the power away from it altogether. So I was like, I'm not scared of you. Like, that's really all you are. Like, that's a very basic kind of like cannibal type of thing, where if you don't feed it, it doesn't exist. Like, if I don't look at it, it doesn't exist. It helped me feel a lot better about the scary things that we encounter when we're investigating, for sure. It was a very interesting, life-changing experience that I had at Waverly. I want to go back because it's beautiful.
That's fascinating. Did you see the creeper?
I did see the creeper. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, And I saw the nurse, there was this nurse who was up at the children's floor who was said to take her life up there. Mm-hmm. Also saw her. Judy saw a bunch of children running around. We also, is it Timmy who throws the ball?
I don't know the name, but there is, I know there's that room with all the balls in it.
Yes, we were eating lunch. Like, we weren't even filming. We were eating lunch and the ball goes rolling down the hallway all by itself. It's so cool. The place is massive. It's gorgeous. Yeah. There's gargoyles on the front. It looks like it would be terrifying, but there's like those of us who feel comfort in all that scary stuff. We just love it.
Ugh, I need to go. Tell me about the Palace Theater in Kentucky.
Oh, the Palace. The Palace was super cool. It was a theater where the person, like the owner, had his own queer story, and he had passed on, and that experience was really cool because he got to really talk to the owners and get up to the... Let me start over, because there are so many storylines with that. My favorite storyline was up at the box. There's this little corner where I always like telling the story because I think it helps people feel less afraid of investigating. It's like that feeling that you walk into a place where you're like, oh, I'm not welcome here, and sometimes be misunderstood. And the Palace Theater had a situation like that where there was this, it's like a spotlight box up at the theater.
Yeah.
There is a man named Dutch who unfortunately passed away, and his spirit is believed to still be there. And nobody can go up there without being terrified. They literally just did not want to be anywhere near that area. It was scary for people. And me and Ken went up there, and I think that was a cool experience because I realized that, oh, it's not that he's like a bad entity that I should be afraid of. It's not that he's like wants to scare anybody or anything like that. He's still doing his job. Like, he loved his job so deeply that he was still there in the spotlight box, protecting it and claiming it as his own. And that experience was super cool because I felt like I was less, I don't know, it just had me feel like I should be thinking deeper on what it is that I'm feeling. If I'm pushed out of the space, it's not because something scary that I should fear, but more so just it could be somebody who's, you know, protecting their space. And I felt like we were able to get in there and ask him questions, and he told us that he wanted to clean up the place a little bit because he still loves it and he's still there doing his job and still working. It's just they were using it as storage, so he was a little upset about it. So, the location was really cool. That was another really formidable experience for me as an investigator in understanding that like there's so much more than what we're feeling. If we're able to just push past it a little and ask questions, and I think we can get in there and really help the spirits feel less alone, being able to tell their story properly so that no one's afraid as much as they are. So many people are very afraid of the paranormal, and the first instinct is like run and be scared. But it's really like a lot of these spirits are just people like you and I who are still existing in these spaces, and they still have these complex emotions that we still do today, which is fascinating to think of, that our consciousness is continuing outside of our body.
Yeah, you're kind of giving me a new perspective too, because I feel like my best advice for people, or even just for myself, is to follow your gut. Like if you go in and something doesn't feel right, or it feels negative or feels bad or whatever, then maybe it is. And maybe you should trust that and, you know, move on, or, you know, or maybe you want to experience that depending on what you're doing or how you're feeling. But only us are that's like, exactly, oh, wait, no, I want more of this. But
that's how it felt. Like you walked in and you were like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. But I'm so glad we pushed forward, because then if we hadn't, he would still be up there. We wouldn't have been able to say, oh, he just wants it cleaned up. Like, it's all he really needs. Yeah. Just some Windex and then it's fine. You know, he wasn't scaring people anymore after some Windex and like a broom. That was all it took. But that first instinct in your gut is important to listen to. But there's also, it brought me to a place where I was like, oh, I need to listen a little bit more. Maybe just push it and just see if that really is what I'm feeling.
But I also agree, too, that like I feel like this is kind of what you were saying, too, earlier, is that like if they're just like us. So like if they were like kind of grumpy or curmudgeon-y or whatever, or kind of an asshole or whatever when they were alive, they probably still have that same personality to them in the afterlife. And it doesn't make them necessarily a bad person or a scary person. They just have that kind of personality. And you have to like know how to deal with like a lot of different personalities, just like when you're in customer service at a restaurant or a store or something. You have to like know how to deal with a lot of different personalities, and on the other side too.
Yeah, that's so accurate. We're like ghost customer service. That's cute.
Tell me about your art.
I'm an artist. I have lots of different mediums, and it's kind of spilled over into paranormal gear. So I started making paranormal gear with a cute twist. So I have pink REM pods that have ghosts on them. Like, if you want something, please tell me. I will gladly make you one. Like, I would love to make you one. Put your name on it.
Your stuff is so fun. Like, there was like a VHS tape that I saw that was like a K2 meter.
Yeah.
And then what was the baby doll? What did the baby doll do?
I have a couple that do different things. So I feel like our connection to the equipment we're using is kind of important. I feel like if you feel connected to your device and you really understand how it works, you're able to enter a location having like a better footing on what's happening. I got really into maybe more trigger objects. So I started making dolls into equipment themselves, like the Boo Bear is famous for that. I took a couple dolls and put sensors on them where they up their clear sensors, so their IR, you can put them in pitch darkness and they will react to motion. And when they see motion and their sensor is tripped, like if they see motion, they will have a phrase that they say. And these dolls giggle. They say, oh, I saw something, and like really creepy voices. They have, I customize it for people. Like, you wanted to say something in particular. Otherwise, I have like six phrases that are really creepy little tin voices that come out of these dolls. I think they're fun little trigger objects that get people kind of jazzed up, which I think feeds the hauntings and helps us get more information.
Yeah.
And then some are K2 meters themselves. They just light up if there's, if they capture anything like static energy spikes or EMF spikes, they'll light up. So they're a little bit more passive. They don't fall. I have a spirit board that I've been working on. It's like a Ouija board. It's pretty huge, but it's passive touch. So if anything touches the board itself, it lights up, and it's like a myriad of stars. So instead of using a planchet, the hope would be that the spirit would touch the board where it's wanting to touch the board, and it would illuminate. I just like messing around and making it cute because I feel like there's a real need for cute gear. We haven't had that.
Yes. I was talking to Sean Porter. He owns Ghost Stop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was talking to him about the equipment. In fact, I'm doing this little segment called What the Boo, where like we take a piece of paranormal equipment and I want him to like teach me all about it. Like the K2 meter, what is it? What does it do? Why do we use it? Like, how would people say that it doesn't actually work for this? What kind of evidence do people get from it? Like all the information from it. So I love that you have like a real firm understanding of all this equipment and how to like kind of even go in and take it apart and make it cute and make it your own and stuff. Because I feel like I kind of know, like, obviously I know how to use a K2 meter and I know how to use several different pieces, but like, there's a part of me that's like, how does this really work though? Like, what am I really catching? Like, what's happening here? And that's kind of what I'm trying to, I love all the gear. I love it. But I feel like I don't understand it 100%. And I want a better understanding because like you said, then you have that full connection with it. And when it's cute, like Boo Bear or whatever, then you actually love it. You're like, oh no, I love this little bear. And you like, and Sean was even saying people name them. I haven't named my Boo Bear yet, but people have names for them.
Yeah. I think our connection is important. It's kind of like an extension of us to a degree. And I think that gives it more power. Paranormal equipment is actually very simple when it comes to the way that they work electronically, but in their simplicity, they're also really easy to, I mean, if your phone goes off, it'll make it go off, even if your phone's on silent. There's a lot of ways, they're not shielded. So there's a lot of ways that like a train down below will set it off. And a lot of people don't understand how they can be messed with, and it kind of leads to like false positives.
Yes.
So it's super easy to think that something's happening and it's not actually happening. So I'm always trying to explain to people, especially when I'm on YouTube, or I have a YouTube where I explain it more in depth, but I think it's important that we really deeply have a good understanding of the equipment that we're using, so that when something happens, we're able to say, oh, this is actually paranormal. Then it's, oh, I just walked past a power box and that interfered to a degree, or there's some wires, and that would make sense. I love the REM pod, but it's, you know, it's unshielded too. I love the spirit box because I feel like of all the devices, that one, if you're able to capture a voice over like 8 weeks and it's the same voice and you're able to do that multiple times and recreate that, that's really solid evidence. It's hard to say that that was just the radio, especially if it's speaking. I like certain devices more than others because they're a little harder to have false positives with, but I am very into educating people on how those things work so that they know what it is that they're using.
Yeah. And I love that you're making, I don't know if I want to say feminine energy, but I just like that they have like a more, like I found a pink K2 meter and I was like so excited. Yeah. Like I just want things that don't look so technical or so intimidating to use. Like I want things that feel a little bit more fun and like I understand this. And so I love what you're doing. I love the different things that you're making and I feel like it's so creative and so cool.
Thank you. I'll totally send you one of those pink ones. They're super cute, the K2 meters.
Yeah, no, I found a pink K2 meter.
Oh, you did? I have ones too. They have spikes on the outside. So they're like,
oh, that's
pink
cute. Yeah. You know what I did tell Sean I need, though? I don't think he's going to like make it or anything, but maybe you and I can collaborate on it. I want a Boo Bunny.
They need to make a Boo Bunny. That is such a good idea.
That's what I want. That.
I think that's a great idea.
So tell us more about your YouTube show, Paranormal Alex.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. In between shows is Paranormal Alex on YouTube. It's me and a couple of my friends. I kind of have rotating guests, so it's always a little different. But that's what I'm up to right now, just filming and enjoying the paranormal the way it's supposed to be, you know, just casual and fun.
Well, and with YouTube, it's really kind of cool too, because you're in charge. It's your content. It's the way you want to do it. There's not like a producer or a network or whatever going, we don't really want to do it that way. Or we really want these people, or we want them to go to this location. It's just like what you want to do.
Yeah, which is so fun. That is so much fun because you're like, oh, I don't have to edit it out. If I want to include all the evidence, I can.
Yeah.
Like I don't have time constraint on that, which is super cool.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I have some like quick roundup questions. Can I just ask you those too? Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Scariest paranormal place you've ever been?
Ever. The Gadsden in Douglas, Arizona.
I don't know about that place.
That place is terrifying.
What is it?
One of the scariest places I've been. It's a very, very old hotel. It burnt down. There's tunnels at the bottom of it from Prohibition days. So there's a Prohibition bar at the bottom of the basement that they still have. There's safes in the wall where there's money saved. They have the really old elevators. It hasn't really been updated. So there's a lot of history. That place freaks me out. Whatever's going on in the basement there, there's so much energy. They have like a cell in the corner where they kept enslaved people. It's very intense. There was a lot going on there. The mafia were involved at some point. It's a lot. Yeah, that place freaked me out. Top 10 scariest places.
Favorite paranormal tool to use besides yourself?
The spirit box, for sure.
Which one do you use?
The SV7, and I use it with the RNC. Oh, no, wait. What's the name of it? Mary Galpin makes it. It's a little speaker that it has like a filter in it so that it filters out only the words that are being spoken. So you don't get all the in between.
Yeah.
ANC. That's what it's called. ANC speaker with the SB7. My favorite.
See, that's what I need to get because I have the SB7, but I'm so bad at like hearing the words. Like people will be like, oh, they said yes. And I'm like, did they? Well, I didn't hear it. Like I'm so bad about it. So I feel like I need that speaker.
You should. It's really cool. It's a great speaker to have. You can like adjust it too. So the sensitivity settings are super sensitive. You can get it to write the perfect amount, so it's not taking too much of it out.
Yeah.
It's great. It's only, I think, $99, but it has them on its site. Gary Galfa sells them.
Okay. And then what would you say is the best evidence you've ever captured?
Well, I think it was Leon saying, "It's okay, beloved," or, "Oh, beloved, it's okay." Wow. That was one of my favorite pieces of evidence I've ever captured.
And people can see that on the Hulu, right? On,
that's
or
on
no,
YouTube.
It's not on there right now. You have to like watch the bootlegged YouTube ones, though.
Yeah. No, it's on my YouTube. That one's one of my own episodes that I did.
Oh, okay.
San Carlos, yeah. The Hulu ones, there's lots of cool stuff with Waverly. I hope they'll bring it back.
Fingers crossed. That's right. The Beloved was at San Carlos, not at the Copper.
Yeah. Okay. I know it gets confusing because they have similar stories, the women there.
Yeah. Okay. Do you carry anything for protection?
Oh, I do. I have a necklace. I had to really think about that. I've worn this necklace for many, many years. It's a protective necklace. It was made by Blood Milk. A friend gave it to me, and I feel like it being gifted to me, it was very symbolic and it feels protective. So I keep it on me a lot.
Yeah, I don't have protection, but I feel like in my mind, like I come in with the mindset that I'm here for an experience. And when I'm leaving, like that's, we're done here. Like that was it. And I just very much have that mindset. And I think as long as you have that mindset, well, so far, so good anyway.
Yeah, I really think we're able to project our reality. And so if you really believe that you're protected, and if you say it in your words, using your words, thinking it over and over, I believe that we create that reality. In the same way.
Yeah. Okay. Paranormal place that you haven't been yet but are dying to go to?
The Grand in Jerome.
Really? That's the spot?
That's one of my spots. I really want to go.
You know what's cool? I mean, you probably know this because you went to the high school, but the whole town of Jerome is like a ghost town.
Yes. There's the haunted, or is it the haunted hamburger? Yeah. The haunted hamburger down the street.
Yes.
I've been there so many times. It's so haunted. If you just kind of walk around, and people have all these cool stories. If you ask them, there's always somebody up there playing an instrument. There's the spirit room, the bar that people go to. It's also very haunted.
Yeah, it's really the cool. Whole town, not just the hotel.
Yeah.
And I didn't even mention this because it's not paranormal, but like when I told you that we had our French doors open and the little patio out there, the patio has this view of like forever. That's why we had the doors open. We had like a glass of wine out on the patio. I think they call it like the 100-mile view or something like that. Like you can see just forever the whole like valley out there. It's amazing because the hotel is like up on a like cliff side or like hill or whatever it is, you know?
It is. It's like a little mountain and it's all nestled up in there.
Yeah. So you have this like incredible view.
I need another reason to like stay. An hour and a half drive.
Wait, what? It's an hour and a half drive for you?
For me, for where I am right now, I should go. I got to make it happen.
Yeah, you definitely should. Thank you so much for doing this today and sharing all your stories. Tell everyone how they can follow you on social media and watch your show and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you for having me on. This was literally a dream come true. I adore you so much. Uh-huh. And you can find me, Paranormal Alex, on YouTube, or It's Alex LeMay on all of the platforms, TikTok, Instagram, all of it.
Awesome. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Ghost Bunny Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on the spooky adventures, and I look forward to sharing a new ghost story with you each week. Please subscribe to our podcast so you're always the first to know when a new episode is out, and follow us on social media at Ghost Bunny Podcast on Instagram for photos and sneak peeks, and at Ghost Bunny Podcast on YouTube for the video version of the podcast. And I just started a Patreon.
Yay!
Because I have all this extra content, like not always, but sometimes like I go and do it on location and then I get like a whole tour or I do an investigation or whatever. And I'm like, what am I going to do with all this extra content?
Good. I'm glad you're doing that. You should. I'm definitely going to follow.
Thank you. All right. Thanks. So nice to talk to you.
It was so nice talking to you. Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you.